This has been a presentation of Radio.com Sports, presented by the official Unsolved Mysteries podcast with Never Heard Before Mysteries on Radio.com and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome.
Welcome
to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Rob Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he finds it for a dunk.
Jam!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Wiseman fights for the rebound. In traffic over Zubats with the flip. It's up and good.
That's what he has to do.
Absolutely.
Fight for a rebound. He's got to become a better rebounder.
And James Wiseman would fight in the fourth quarter as he would play 12 minutes, 6 of 7, 14 points, 7 boards. Warriors, though, lose in this one, 130-104. We welcome you in to Warriors Wrap-Up. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, and you at 888-957-9570. My goodness, James Wiseman benched until the fourth quarter for disciplinary purposes after missing the COVID test yesterday, which led to him being ineligible to practice with the team. Yet Steph Curry mad during a third quarter timeout, TNT roasting the Warriors at halftime, talking about whether they should tank or not. The altered second unit, a flop. Where do you want to begin tonight, Covey? Because there are many, many, many things, and not very many of them are good.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond played terrible. We could start there. The Clippers came out looking like a team that had lost three heading into the break and wanted to get their second half started right, and Warriors couldn't hit a shot. And look, it was a lot of what the Clippers were doing defensively in the first quarter, and the Warriors had a little bit of a pushback. But then in the second quarter, you know, it's that new group. It was, what, Poole, Mannion, Oubre, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and Eric Paschal, and they got ran up out. And I know Kerr talked to the guys and said, you know, this was your first run. There'll be other nights. And look, you know, when you think about it, JD, when you take the emotion out of it, this is one of the harder challenges that the league has to offer, right? You're kind of starting out as a new group in LA against the Clippers. So that's tough. But either way, I mean, the team just didn't play well. Teams were throwing bodies at Steph all over the place. He had a tough night shooting the rock. And, well, when Steph struggles shooting the ball, this is tends to be the outcome.
And the Warriors are now 19-19. They've lost four in a row after getting to a season high, four games over 500 at 19-15. It's not going to get any easier. The Jazz are at Chase Center Sunday afternoon, and then the Lakers on Monday night in the second of what will be a back-to-back. So the Warriors losing tonight. They're trying to lick their wounds a little bit and move forward here back to 19-19. I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to come out of the chute here, and we'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, just right away. James Wiseman was expected to be available, which he was. Obviously, we saw him play the entire fourth quarter, and he went for 14-7, played a little angry in that quarter. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say as to why he didn't play until mop-up duty with the Warriors down 36 at the top of the fourth quarter.
Well, I'm not going to go into detail, but you know, this is all part of development as a young player. You know, you got to take care of your business, and everything matters. And this was just the reaction to, you know, him missing the test and not being able to practice last night. That hurt us, and so that was the reason he did not play in the first half. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that because it's private team business. But that was the reason.
So there you have it.
Sure.
And just your initial reaction to that. Obviously, that was a pretty important practice yesterday, first one after the break, trying to get conditioning in, new roles, obviously, and James Wiseman was set to be a part of that second unit at the beginning of the second quarter. And him being unable to practice, Steve Kerr clearly wanted to send a message. Message received, I guess. And we got people that want to squawk on the phone lines, but I wanted to just get your initial thoughts on that because that's the headline from this thing.
Yeah, well, it was clearly he needed to send James Wiseman a message. And It doesn't need to go any deeper than that. That was an important practice, and he needed to be there, and Steve Kerr needed to do something. If you're looking to get your second half off to a nice start and getting a good rhythm, well, missing the first COVID test isn't the way to go about it. So I think Kerr handled it right. He addressed it. Wiseman hopefully will respond. You move on. What the heck else can you do but learn from it? He's 19 years old. He's going to make mistakes.
And Steve Kerr had more to say about that, which we will hear over the course of the next hour here on the program. Warriors Wrap-Up, John Dickinson and Ryan Covey, 888-957-9570. We'll let the people squawk about this one. There's a lot to talk about. We'll start with Jules in Berkeley. Jules is up first here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Jules, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on tonight?
Hey, welcome back, JD. And it's Jules from Hercules again. Hey, Ryan, you did a good job on doing the solo.
Thanks, brother.
Doing that. Yeah. Just some quick notes really quickly that I took. I understand how he needs to discipline Wiseman and all of that. And as an educator, because I work in education, there's no need to humiliate someone that you're trying to teach. You know what I mean? I felt like tonight was more of a humiliation and an embarrassment versus a disciplining action. If that
how
makes
so?
Sense. Because if you want to teach someone a lesson, remove them from the situation. Don't embarrass them. So just don't have them play the whole game versus I'm going to play you when we're down 36. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. That's actually worse because they're playing down 36. It's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, let you sit here and then I'm just going to play you whenever I feel like it. It's not really good psychologically, in my opinion. You know, that's just my opinion from my perspective. If you're going to coach, you know, just don't let them play the whole game. The message will be stronger and, you know, I know that it might have motivated him because he had 14-7, and that's all good. But in the long term, I feel like if they get into some deep runs next year or this year, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Wiseman sometimes gets irritated or upset at Kerr because of, like, what happened today. You know, like,
all right, Jules. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. We've got a lot of people that want to jump in here, so I want to make sure everybody gets the time. 888-957-9570. I don't think Steve Kerr was intentionally trying to show him up. I do think it comes off that way though when you're down 36 and it's go time. And I think it's circumstantial that it worked out that way. I think it was, hey, I'm not going to bench you the whole game. I'm going to bench you for your first shift of your two schedule shifts, basically, which is that top of the second quarter shift, which, by the way, that group got wrecked, as you pointed out, 20-9 without him. So clearly he hurt the team in that respect. I'm talking about Wiseman, not Kerr, by making himself unavailable. I think it does, and that's the reason we threw it out there. I do think there are people out there, because it gets into this deeper question of, are you developing him, and are you better off developing him by letting him play? If you're disciplining him, do you discipline him by not letting him play the whole night, or are the Warriors kind of in this mode right now where they're kind of getting caught in between? It's almost in some ways a microcosm of the season. When they've tried to play the young guys, the young guys haven't been good enough necessarily to keep playing. When they've tried not to, the older guys haven't exactly taken it and run with it. It just feels like the Warriors, kind of big picture relating to this incident, are caught in between with what they're trying to accomplish all of a sudden.
Well, look, he had to send the message to Wiseman, so Wiseman was benched for the majority of the game. When you're getting blown out, the guys deeper down the bench get an opportunity to play. Now, you know, Wanamaker and I guess Mulder didn't get a chance to play tonight, but he went with some younger guys, you know, and let Steph and Draymond sit out the fourth quarter. That's fine. That's when you get a chance to get in. You're 12th on my rotation tonight, James, because you missed the COVID test. Now, great news is it's one game, and you've got plenty of time to make this right. I think Steve Kerr handled it perfectly tonight. I would have played him in the fourth quarter, run him out there, let him let the other guys rest a little bit. Still, you want to get a run in, right? I mean, you need to see where he's at coming out of the break, and you want to see how he responds, too, in essentially a consequence-free environment. So I think Steve Kerr handled it perfectly tonight.
888-957-9570. Tiger Dan is up next. What's up, Tiger Dan?
Hey, how you doing, you guys? How you doing, man?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got
okay,
you.
Hey, listen. Welcome back, Covey, and also JD. Nice to see you, man. Hey, I didn't get a chance to watch the second quarter, but I heard about you guys talking on the phone here. And I totally agree with Wiseman. Wiseman needs to be in that starting lineup. I don't care. or in the second quarterly.
Thanks, Tiger Dan. Thanks, Tiger Dan. I appreciate it, man. 888-957-9570. Look, the other part of this is Steve Kerr, after the ball game, said Wiseman's going to start playing more, which is interesting. I know he was asked about playing that the two shifts, basically the first six of the top of the second, first six of the fourth, and you know, is that going to be enough? And Steve Kerr, I think it was Anthony Slater who asked him, and no, he's going to play more. Adamantly, he's going to play more. So I think the development time is coming. But tonight, you know, tonight's one of those games where it makes you think. And we have this debate all the time, Covey. You know, what's the goal for the Warriors? Is the goal to make the playoffs? Is the goal to be the highest possible seed you can be? Is the goal to develop? And I understand the answer to the question is all of it. But tonight's one of those nights where if I'm a Warrior fan, I'm kind of looking at it, and we're almost in some ways back to the post-San Antonio game from a month ago where it's like, all right, not chasing wins. And I just, you know, whereas 2 weeks ago it was, well, hey, maybe this team could be the 5 seed or the 4 seed. So I think which one is it? And I think almost on a night-to-night basis, it can be a little bit frustrating because tonight it was about discipline for Wiseman and letting Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion play even though they stunk. And it's like, but – and so it just puts him in a tough spot is all I'm saying.
Well, look, Steve Kerr had to make some adjustments. I mean, let's look at the events that led us up to tonight, okay? Warriors lost 3 in a row. Wanamaker's been terrible. Damian Lee hasn't been much better of late. And Mannion and Poole had played well in the bubble. And in the last game in Phoenix, we saw them. They looked, especially Poole, looked a lot better. And by and large, what we've seen from Mannion so far, he's rough, but he's at least out there looking to initiate the offense and looking to get guys involved. He looks active. And so I can understand why Steve Kerr would want to try that out. The James Wiseman stuff, I don't think we need to lose our mind around this. He's a rookie. He broke a team rule, and he got slapped on the wrist for it. And so you sit him in the first half. You let him sit there and watch everybody else play. Okay, message received. Now it's, you know, it's a blowout, so we're going to get you in there in the fourth quarter. If it wasn't a blowout, I don't think James Wiseman's playing. You know, if it was a close game and the Warriors had a chance to win, Steve Kerr would have probably, you know, most definitely would have stuck with his veterans, probably would have played Draymond at the five, went small, and tried to close that thing out. But they were getting smoked, so now it's let's rest the star players. And because of that, well, guess what, James? Now you get to play a little bit in the fourth quarter. So it's on a nightly basis. If they have a chance to win, great, let's go get the win. And if they don't, then let's develop some of these young guys. And tonight, I don't think we can take any other assumptions of tonight other than we don't know what he would have done with Wiseman because Wiseman didn't earn playing time because he missed a COVID test.
It sounds like he probably would have played regardless because that was his shift. I mean, whether that matters or not at this point, I mean, I guess it doesn't because the game was a blowout. And again, I think maybe the punishment was, all right, you're not going to play in the first half or you're not going to play unless it's a blowout. I mean, Steve Kerr wasn't going to get into it that deep. But I don't think it's quite as clear cut. I don't personally have a problem with it. But I just, again, people are going crazy. Warriors fans are going crazy about this on Twitter. It's a big back and forth debate. And look, it's going to be a topic of discussion tonight and all day tomorrow, probably leading our show with opinions at 6 o'clock on the final word. How the Warriors are handling him, how his development is progressing, the fact that, you know, he played ticked off, which is a good thing, I think.
Sure.
He played ticked off in the fourth quarter, but he's played ticked off, maybe not ticked off, but he's played pretty well in garbage time before at different points this season. So I'm not sure if something clicked tonight. I mean, only time will tell. And look, he's also 19. And, you know, I can understand where Steve Kerr's coming from in terms of the development and needing to give this thing time and needing to learn. Let's keep it moving. People want to talk. Tenderloin Dad in the city is next here on Warriors Wrap Up.
Hey, JD, it's great to hear you on the radio. I do agree that, you know, I think it's really about letting these guys develop. Tonight's kind of a sore lesson in, like, kind of a dad life lesson. Like, Wiseman broke the rules. He had to be sad, you know. And I kind of agree with that. And everyone can have their hot take about Kerr, and I sure do. But I want to see if they are focused on development. I want to see him incorporate Wiseman a little bit more. I want to see Kevon Looney not play as much basketball. That guy's a little frustrating. But, you know, I want to see him dealt with Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion. You know, we saw a little bit of that with the Suns game. And, you know, I think at this point, I'm going to be looking at Kerr a little bit more closely with his rotations. And if he really wants to be the dad and stand by what he did tonight, let's see him incorporate, you know, Wiseman more into the lineup. And let's see the Warriors, you know, make something happen and develop that chemistry. Because I do not want to see Steph Curry yelling at players on the sideline again. That's it, guys. You have a great night. Later.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Dave in Alameda. Dave's next on Warriors Wrap-Up here. What's up, Dave?
Hey, great show. You know, it's crazy because the Warriors, we had Clay was healthy and we had the number two pick. And now he's hurt and Wiseman is struggling. It just seems like we give Wiseman every excuse. You know, he is actually older than LaMelo Ball, so we should say that a little more often. Oh, you know, but we don't.
They're both kids.
And, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for Kerr to give this guy – you know, I mean, if you're going to teach a lesson, then say, you know what, dude, stay home. You don't need to come to practice tomorrow. Or coach him like one of them, a regular coach. Say, hey, man, start running until you throw up, and then we'll kick you off the team type of thing. Go home. Because having him on the bench and then playing him in garbage time, it looks terrible. The rest of the team is like, oh, this is our special freshman. He could do whatever he wants. He could do no wrong. We got all the money's in him. You know, and I think it sends a bad message to the rest of the players. I don't think the Warriors are going to go to the playoffs this year, because if they do, they're going to have to play Curry 10 times more minutes, and he's going to blow out his knee. So we're screwed.
All right, Dave. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. it is getting tougher by the game for the Warriors to avoid the play-in tournament. That is one ramification. We talked about it on Warriors Live. I mean, they're 19-19 now. They're 10th. They still have some room between 10th and 11th, but the opportunity for this team to avoid being one of the teams in the 14 play-in tournament, I mean, that's dwindling by the loss, because some of the teams in front of them are playing better. And as far as Curry goes, look, the Warriors are not going to play Steph Curry more than about 34 to 36 minutes a game. They just won't do it. Steve Kerr said it. We've had that post-game show a couple of different times. And as far as Wiseman goes, Covey, it's a deal where, look, to me it's the opposite. It's the exact opposite. If you start him, you play him, you tell him, hey, it's no big deal, you're going to get your 30 minutes, even if you break the rule and miss practice, that to me is sending a worse message.
Yeah.
It's just an unfortunate situation, because the only way he's going to get better, in my mind, is to play. And, yes, it's his fault tonight, because he missed the test and couldn't practice, and like, I totally get where Steve Kerr's coming from, but I'm a little bit conflicted, because I also think, hey, if you're going to be taking losses the way the Warriors were taking losses tonight, there needs to be a benefit that comes from it. And Wiseman playing a ticked off 12 minutes in the fourth quarter when you're down 36, for me, that isn't enough.
Well, but what else was he supposed to do? Let him play in the first half? He missed a test. He hurt the team. Like, that transgression can't go unchecked. Like, then that totally sends the wrong message. So you have to do something if you're Steve Kerr. Go ahead.
There's also a part of it for me, too, that wonders, well, what's the message you're sending to the team by putting Nico Mannion and Jordan Poole out there? Because, like, and I know, look, it's one night, and, like, I joked about it on Twitter. You know who had a really good night tonight? Two guys did. Brad Wanamaker and Damian Lee. They had really good nights tonight, because they have been, Wanamaker in particular, picked on as much as anybody on the team. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, the Orlando bubble at the start of the second quarter. And all of a sudden, a game that was actually remarkably close, even though the Warriors didn't play real well the first quarter, the ball game was over. And look, I get it. Those guys need to grow and learn and develop and all that, I guess. But again, are Nico Mannion and Jordan Poole going to be a part of a playoff rotation next year on a team that not only – you know, the Warriors not only think they're going to be a playoff team, but a team that can maybe contend? Like, at that point, you know, I don't know.
More than Brad Wanamaker is right now.
That's
I promise
a fair
you
point.
That.
That's
he
a
shot
fair
21%
point.
From 3-point range in the month of February. He's given them nothing. Like,
and Jordan Poole hasn't played a meaningful minute this whole season,
right?
And played well in a meaningful minute all season.
Agreed.
Like,
absolutely,
you could make that case. So 100%.
Steve Kerr has to switch something up. Like, look, they lost three in a row coming into the break, and it's not because Steph's not playing well. It wasn't because, well, Oubre was hurt, but it's not because Kelly Oubre wasn't playing well. You know, Draymond had been playing pretty good. You know, Wiggins has been steady. It's been the rotation guys. It's been the depth guys. And Steve Kerr needs to see what these guys have. And why not in a time where Wanamaker's playing like crap, Damian Lee hasn't been much better, and Mannion and Poole are actually riding high coming off the bubble. Now, are they the answer? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, we just don't know. I tell you what I do know is Brad Wanamaker's not going to be your backup point guard next year, and you know, it's probably pretty likely that Damian Lee won't be on this bench either. So you might as well see what you have with these guys, especially when they're on the uptick, their stock's on the rise, so to speak, as much as their stock could be. And these other guys, you know, particularly Wanamaker, you know, maybe give him a little bit of a breather, give him some time off, give him some time sitting. And look, if it blows up, Wanamaker's a veteran, he's getting paid, he's cashing an NBA check, so you go back to him. Like, it's, to me, you're not getting enough from Wanamaker where it's like, oh my god, what have we lost from bringing, you know, from not having this guy out there. Steve Kerr took a chance tonight. It blew up in his face because these guys didn't play well in the second quarter, but he even said it when he talked to these guys when they came out. It's one run. Like, I bet you we see it again. And you know what, if you're gonna do it once, you might as well try it a couple of times, because then it's like you're just throwing stuff against the wall hoping it sticks. So he's in a tough spot, because guess what, like, but beyond a couple of players, beyond like the top three or four players on this team's not very talented. So Steve Kerr's got to try and figure out who he can integrate into this rotation that he can either help him get in the playoffs this year or will be around on this team next year. And by and large, a lot of these guys won't do either.
888-957-9570. A couple of questions out there tonight. We haven't even got into Steph Curry yet because we've been talking a lot about Wiseman. How do you feel about the way the Warriors handled James Wiseman tonight? Simple answer. We played the cut from Steve Kerr. We got more from Steve Kerr. We're going to hear from James Wiseman as well. Let's get to Rob. Rob, you're next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob in Berkeley? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hey.
What's up, Rob?
Listen. Hey, how's it going, you two? Hey, great show. I love the two of you. Great additions to 95.7 Point. 95.7 The Game. I think there's a bigger picture here, and that is the Warriors having added Steve Kerr as a coach and Joe Lacob taking ownership, and Bob Myers as a GM, and they've got some stalwart players. Like, we can go hot take all day, all night, win, loss. This is not a throwaway season. This is a development season. Let's see what they have next year. And if really things are that bad as the hot take is tonight, then Kerr will be out. And maybe we trade, you know, our best players. But let's let this happen. As far as Wiseman is concerned, we're playing that young man as any organization that hopefully knows what they're doing should do. And that is, he's been catapulted into a man's game, and he's going to sink or swim. He's going to produce or not. And we're giving him every opportunity and every level of support to be what he can be. It may not be a fit, but that's not the Warriors' fault, right? That's not Wiseman's fault. There's fits and there's not fits. So let's see what we can do. We know what we can do as an organization to give the people that we have on our team the opportunity to be as good as they are. Okay. We've produced some amazing talents that have gone on to other clubs. And
thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob. 888-957-9570. Appreciate the call. Warriors lose tonight to the Clippers, 130-104. Golden State now 19-19 on the season. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit more from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, here after this one. We were talking about the play of the second unit. Here's what he had to say about the second unit tonight.
Well, they really struggled in the second quarter. They got into trouble, you know, with a lot of fouls right away. I think we had four fouls in the first 2 minutes, and the Clippers zone hurt us. We didn't get good looks against the zone. There's some young guys in that group, and so it's to be expected to there are going to be some struggles, but I like the potential. I like the energy that they showed, and they bounced back and played much better in the fourth quarter.
And they did play better in the fourth quarter, although I'm not counting the fourth quarter. Like, I'm just not. Not even with Wiseman. And, yeah, I'll say this. I liked the fact that James Wiseman went out there in the fourth quarter and clearly was ticked off. He was clearly playing angry because he felt like maybe he was getting embarrassed, and not in a way like he was being disrespected or anything like that. Like, he was like, damn, like, I'm the number two pick, and I'm going out there with us down 36, and I didn't play at all the first 36 minutes of the game because I messed up. Like, that was the kind of anger it was. It wasn't, oh, Kerr's disrespecting me or anything like that. Like, it was all, I think, from the right place. And I think that's the point of the way that the Warriors and Steve Kerr have handled this thing. But I'm still not giving him credit for going out there and dropping the 14-7, because we need to see a little bit more of that in more meaningful times. The one aspect that Steve Kerr was asked about, we've touched on this briefly, hinted at it. He was asked about sticking with Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion, and here's what he said.
Sure, yeah. I'm not. This isn't something I'm just going to do for one game. So I'm going to play those guys together. I like the potential, and we've got couple of guys who can run pick and roll and are really good passers. And we got James diving to the rim. There's a lot of potential there. You don't just put a group like that out for a game or two and lose faith. You've got to give it a chance. And, you know, we spent first half of the season playing, you know, a second unit that never really got any traction. So it just feels like a good time to try a different tack. As I said, we'll stick with it.
So there you go. Sunday afternoon, top of the second quarter, best team in the NBA, the Utah Jazz at Chase Center. Go get them.
Wow. Yeah. And that's where it's a little rough. And I totally agree with you on that, JD. First of all, they get no credit for the fourth quarter. The Clippers were just running out the clock at that point. Their big concern tonight is Patrick Beverley okay? But for sure, I don't like the Mannion and Poole playing together. That's just too much inexperience in a backcourt. And I don't think he's setting those guys up for success by playing them together for meaningful stretches. I think, first of all, it's like they're like lumped in as the same player. They're not. Jordan Poole had a bunch of NBA experience last year. Jordan Poole has actually shown the ability to score. And I totally agree with you, JD. Like, I know it sounds
That's a good point. I'm team Poole.
But he gives you more than, you know, what Damian Lee's been giving you from a scoring standpoint. You need scoring. And, yeah, they're two different players. And Mannion, he's a baby. He's a pup. Like, he's probably not ready to be in an NBA rotation yet. Jordan Poole, I think he's at least earned the opportunity to see. Like, the Jordan Poole audition, I'm cool with. The Nico Mannion audition, we might be putting the cart a little ahead of the horse here.
Yeah, and I found myself frustrated with that. Like, it was almost, okay, Poole's earned his run, and Wanamaker struggled, and Poole's earned his run in the G League. Let's see what Poole can do. But it was almost like Mannion was being elevated to that same level already, and I had a little bit of a problem with that. Or there was also a hint of Poole needed Mannion because Poole can't be a point guard or a lead guard, and Steve Kerr addressed that. And something we can get to on the other side a little bit, because he said flat out that Poole's a combo. So don't look for him to be just taking Wanamaker's minutes. And at that point, I'm gonna say something right now. If Jordan Poole, because here's what happened tonight, and I know we're up against it. Jordan Poole played because Jordan Poole earned the right to be playing. Nico Mannion played because Steve Kerr doesn't think Jordan Poole can be a point guard and needs the guard help that Nico Mannion provides, and that means Damian Lee found his way out of the rotation. So now, like, if it's gonna take all of that just to get Jordan Poole on the floor, I'm gonna give it to you straight. I'd rather see Wanamaker and freaking Damian Lee on the floor. I think that gives this team a better chance to win if you have to jump through all those different hoops in an attempt to make it happen to where Jordan Poole can be out there.
Agreed. And last thing I'll say, not Jordan Poole's fault that
true
Brad Wanamaker is playing terrible at the backup point guard position. So that shouldn't be a qualifier for Jordan Poole to get some run right now, but it sounds like it is, and it sounds like Steve Kerr's hell-bent on seeing how this thing works, and we'll look ahead into the Miss Cleo crystal ball. I don't think it's going to work well, especially, like, I don't know, the next two games probably.
888-957-9570. He's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. More Warriors wrap-up straight ahead right here on 95.7 The Game.
He was great. He responded exactly as I hoped he would. He looked like he was a little angry out there, and he really competed, and he played with good energy, and that bodes well. So he'll be back out there next game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steve Kerr there reacting to how James Wiseman responded in his 12 minutes of action in the fourth quarter, as Wiseman did go for 14-7 in the frame, 6 of 7 shooting after Wiseman was benched for the first three quarters due to missing a COVID test yesterday, which made him ineligible to practice with the Warriors in Los Angeles yesterday, leading up to the ball game tonight. Warriors lose to the Clippers 130-104. It's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here, 888-957-9570. Taking your calls, getting reaction to how the Warriors handled this situation with James Wiseman. Let's actually hear from the Rook himself on this one, as he addressed the media after the ball game. First and foremost, he was asked what happened with the missed test.
Just because I make mistakes, I'm human, and I completely forgot about the first 2 days of COVID testing, but I tested the last 2 days. But yeah, I completely forgot. But I'm human, and I made a huge mistake. But I'll most definitely not do that again. Because that just, yeah, I just got to make sure that I just be disciplined in terms of that.
So that's a little alarming, I would say. Yeah. When you hear it as missed a couple of days worth, I mean, I got to think this is something where you're getting notifications and the team is assisting you with it. And that's pretty alarming. And to have it be more than one day, that is alarming.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. It's a good reminder, though. He's 19, but 100%. So what do you do when you screw up at 19 years old, JD? You learn from it, right? And this doesn't need to be a bigger issue for the development of James Wiseman, the state of the Golden State Warriors, the coaching tactics of Steve Kerr, his disciplinary measures. It's just James Wiseman screwed up. He had to do something, because it can't just be you've got carte blanche to miss tests and ultimately miss a practice coming out of a long break when we're on a 3-game losing streak. And you, the last time we saw you, you were talking about what a struggle it's been, and you can't wait to get back to work and keep grinding. So Steve Kerr had to do something. Totally co-sign on that. And hey, if you went out there, I hear the Kerr cut coming into the break here, or coming out of the break. Like, look, if Wiseman's pissed off and he played that way, great. Now go do it against the ones for Utah. Go do it when Bogdanovich and Gobert are out there and Joe Ingles and do it with Derek Favors out there. I mean, that's what I want to see from James Wiseman now. Carry it over into a non-garbage time scenario. Play that way in your first shift on Sunday, and then we'll start to think, okay, like maybe we're onto something here.
Let's hear more from James Wiseman here. Here's what he had to say about when he found out he couldn't practice.
Just due to the NBA protocols, one of the staff members told me that I wasn't going to be able to practice yesterday. But, it's fine. Like, I just made a mistake, but I made sure that I apologized to coach and told him that I'm not going to do that again, and just make sure that I pay attention to little stuff like that and just get that done.
And I'll move on quickly, because he was asked how frustrating it was to not be playing.
It was frustrating, but as a man, I take accountability for my mistakes. But as soon as he called my name, I was ready to go out there and play hard and just play my role and just play my minutes. So.
Yeah, I hate coming down a youngster's road, man. But I just I'm stunned at how I'm just gonna say it, how flippant he sounds, especially in those first two cuts about, yeah, well, I missed the test. And I mean, can we Sterling? Can you re-rack the second one when he found out he couldn't practice? And run that back real quick.
Just due to the NBA protocols. One of the staff members told me that I wasn't going to be able to practice yesterday. But, it's fine. Like, I just made a mistake. But I made sure that I apologized to coach and told him that I'm not going to do that again, and just make sure that I pay attention to little stuff like that and just get that done.
Yeah, it's not fine. And, yeah, and I'll be honest.
Yeah, first thing I thought too. It's not.
And here in the two cuts of, from Wiseman, like I get why Steve Kerr was furious and furious enough to not play him until the fourth quarter and maybe even furious enough to put him out there down 36 to make another point on top of it. I've actually changed my take a little bit based on just how nonchalant he is about it in explaining it. And I think you're right. I think the fact that he's young has a lot to do with it. And, but wow, man, like that, yeah, I hope that better not happen again. I mean, I remember, you know, I've referenced this quote before a couple of times, you know, Michael Malone, when he was coaching the Sacramento Kings and he was going off about his team getting beat on the boards and missing assignments. And, you know, he said, hey, I'm sick of this. My bad stuff. All these guys are saying my bad gets your ass kicked in this league. And it just like at some point, and look, you hope this is it. You know, he gets the message. There aren't little slip ups like this with other things maybe along the way. It's obviously a different protocol for everybody right now in the world has to do something differently than they're used to normally doing it. So, I mean, there is some benefit of the doubt, I guess, but I'm totally getting, and I, you know, Steve Kerr's kind of like you and I, Covey, like he can run a little hot. Like he's a real nice guy. And then in the blink, he'll just be furious. Like I can kind of see where Steve Kerr went down the path that he did.
He's got to send the message. And it's, look, I think it's also kind of James Wiseman's personality. And I bet if he played that back, he'd probably like to reel in the it's fine portion because that probably isn't going to land well on Steve Kerr's ears either. And I know he said he apologized to the coaches. And look, maybe he expanded on this and maybe he just didn't mention it. But, I mean, I'd really like to hear him say I hurt the basketball team. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not acceptable. And I need to be accountable. And that's part of being a professional. And it's part of being a man. Instead of, yeah, I made a mistake. I'm human. I make mistakes. It's almost like there's a measure of, you know, not, I'm going to say a lack of accountability, but almost like he still feels aggrieved by this. And he hasn't totally accepted the fact that he screwed up. Maybe he's still in one of those early stages, right, JD? Where he hasn't fully realized like, oh no, this is not okay. And it is 110% on me. And this is not a good look, especially the way things have been going for me lately. So maybe it'll take a little bit more time. And again, like, I just think he's one of those guys, just a little low key. And, you know, he probably doesn't, he wants to let his play do the talking, which is fine. And this is the other thing that occurred to me too, JD, now that I'm kind of thinking about it. He, in every level that he's ever played at, you know, high school, obviously he was a star, college didn't play much, but you know, I mean, in the time he was there, you know, I'm sure being such a highly regarded prospect, my point is he probably hasn't had to explain himself an awful lot, right? I mean, usually it's I'm doing my thing and that's good enough. And guess what? I was the number two pick in the draft. So I'm sure that this is probably some uncharted territory for him too, having to explain his behavior as it applies to anything relating to basketball, right? I mean, it's probably just the first time around for him, I would imagine. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that, you know, there's a reason why James Wiseman was the number two pick to this point. Through his, you know, his play, his young playing days and all the way leading up to get drafted, he was the dude. He, you know, so this is probably some uncharted territory for him on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear more from James Wiseman after this one. Warriors lose to the Clippers 130-104, but the story of the night, James Wiseman benched for disciplinary purposes due to the missed COVID test, which knocked him out of practice yesterday. Steve Kerr not playing Wiseman until the top of the fourth quarter. The Warriors were down by 36 at that point in time. It was 104-68. Wiseman did play well in that fourth quarter, an angry 14-7 on 6 of 7 shooting in the 12 minutes of action. The next step and level to this thing, Covey, is Wiseman's relationship with Steve Kerr. Here's what the rookie had to say about that.
Great relationship. I actually talk to him every 2 days, tell him, like, ask him questions about, like, how can I get better each day and, like, how can I improve? And he gave me, like, a lot of details on, like, how can I improve on both ends of the floor, especially defense. So just really just getting better at that aspect and just trying to just go at it every day and just work hard.
The one part about this big picture, because, look, I mean, tonight it's one game. He didn't play. the Warriors lost. The Warriors were going to get beat anyway. The Clippers are just in a different league right now than this current iteration of the Golden State Warriors. That's just reality right now.
So, and they owed them one.
Well, yeah, and that's a great point. From the January 8th comeback, a lot like, and you pointed this out on Warriors Live, a lot like the third matchup, or the second matchup, rather, against the Lakers down at Staples Center after the Warriors had the big comeback against them. They were going to get a locked-in Clippers team tonight, especially because they had lost three in a row. They were getting Paul George back. And for them, it was kind of, all right, this is go time, and we want to put one on you for January the 8th. No question about that. So I think big picture, though, as far as moving on from this and Wiseman and Kerr, like, I don't think there's any lingering issues between the two of them. I mean, Wiseman does seem to have that personality where he, nonchalant or not, laid back or not, he does seem to be an aware enough guy to understand that he messed up and that Steve Kerr was right in this particular situation. And I think, you know, Steve Kerr has the respect of everybody in the Warriors organization. So I don't think this is one of those where the rookie is going to be looking at the head coach with disdain for the rest of the year, thinking that he got disrespected. He would be wrong if he did that, right. But I think the Warriors are fortunate that they're not going to have to deal with that specific issue.
Oh, James Wiseman better hope not. Like, Steve Kerr gets the benefit of the doubt too. Like, I know it's our job to, like, you know, talk about the decisions that are made, even on some level, second guess them. And I know the callers have opinions as well. The dude took a team to five finals. He's got three rings on the shelf, not to mention everything he did as an assistant and in his NBA playing career. Like, Steve Kerr, you want to talk about clout and, you know, just the implicit trust. Steve Kerr needs to have that. If he doesn't, I think, you know, if there's somebody out there that doesn't have that for Steve Kerr, they probably need to check themselves a little bit. And look, this is a whole different situation, and Kerr's certainly used to looking down that bench, right, and seeing a little more talent at his disposal. But he's kind of, you know, adjusting on the fly as well and kind of adapting to this new situation. But certainly, as it applies to Steve Kerr disciplining a 19-year-old that missed a test, missed a couple of tests, it sounds like, and missed a practice and hurt the basketball team coming out of break. Like, we'll just defer to Steve Kerr's expertise on that as to what the right thing to do for the basketball team is. And if there's consequences from that beyond that, well, then Steve Kerr will have to address it. But this is a James Wiseman issue for me, not a Steve Kerr issue. Steve Kerr handled it the only way that he could. The only other thing he could have done, JD, was like, hey, you're not playing tonight regardless. But, you know, there's that other part of it, which is he still wants to make sure he can get Wiseman some run coming out of the break, seeing where he's at, seeing how he would react to it. And guess what? Like, you're out there doing it against, you know, Amir Coffey and Terrence Mann. Like, so, you know, whatever. Just go out there, show, you know, go out there, play well, and then we'll see about getting you back out there, you know, on Sunday, and hopefully it'll carry over and it'll be message received. I don't know what else he was supposed to do there. I think Steve Kerr handled it cool. We'll see how Wiseman handles it going forward, but he's got to learn from this. It was unacceptable. It wasn't okay. It's not fine, like you said, JD.
888-957-9570. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. As we move into the 11 o'clock hour here, Warriors wrap up with JD and Covey on 95.7 The Game. Let's hear from Steph Curry as we move forward here. And then I've got kind of a bigger picture take on just where the Warriors are at 19-19, I want to run by you here as far as just the identity of this thing. But let's hear from Steph, because he was a big part of this one as well, as visibly upset as I can recall him being. That third quarter timeout early, TNT caught it, you know, yelling at his teammates. It looked like he was trying to really get them going, like, hey, let's bring it. We're getting our tail kicked. He addressed that, but first he addressed the question of the evening, which was if he agreed with Wiseman being benched.
We all talked about it beforehand and knew what the situation was. And there are learning curves for everybody in this league, responsibilities and accountability and all that. So the quicker you learn those things and just make it about basketball, the better, you know, you are individually and everybody is a team. I'm sure that'll land well with Wise going forward in terms of the things we need to do to be available for us night in, night out.
And Steve Kerr had said, hey, and he brought up Steph and Draymond both as, hey, Steph got benched. You know, different reason, but hey, Steph got benched back in, you know, the early part of his career. Draymond was barely playing at times his rookie season before ultimately making an impact toward the end of that year and in the playoffs. It happens for various reasons to even the all-time greats in this league. So you'll be all right. Take your lumps. Don't let it happen again and move forward.
Yeah, it's a learning process. Bob Myers talked about that with his interview with the guys yesterday, 10 to 2. That's all part of the deal. And James Wiseman was never going to be a finished product coming into the league at 19 years old, especially with all the circumstances that, you know, precluded him coming to the league. So this is a sharp lesson to learn. And it's unfortunate too, JD, right? I mean, because we all thought, hey, a little R&R, get home, get to go see mom, get back, you know, decompress for a little while, and then let's get back, let's refocus. Because let's face it, like, there's a lot riding on James Wiseman's tenure with the Golden State Warriors. Like, this is a marriage, a relationship that needs to work for both of these guys, you know, for team and for player. First half didn't go as well as a lot of folks would have hoped, certainly the organization and James Wiseman. So you wanted to get the second half off to a good start, and so this was a bitter pill to swallow. And I hope that Wiseman can learn from it, but it's all part of being a rookie in the NBA too. Like, rookies that screw up and drop the ball should get benched. It's part of the deal. That's a truism across sports.
Let's hear from Steph on the third quarter frustrations.
It's always about what's happening in the moment. That's just basketball. Trying to be bring competitive spirit and leadership all different type of ways. But we had an opportunity to set the tone for the second half of the season tonight and obviously didn't do it. I think we got to do something about that going into the next game.
Yeah, and I think, look, the Warriors held their own in that first quarter. It could have gotten ugly at that point. The defense kept them in it. They were down three on the Kawhi three, or they were down two at the end of the first. Kawhi hit a three. And you know, the top of the second quarter, things got away from them. But right there at the beginning of the third, it's on the starters to make a run, and it went completely in the opposite direction and got really ugly. Timeout Warriors at that point, and it was just a boiling point, whatever you want to call it. I mean, Steph, and this is not the first time for Steph this year. I mean, maybe the first time that it was that clearly picked up in terms of the television, but there have been a couple other instances where he's been visibly frustrated. Anything to make of that concerns? Is it just part of being a 19-19 team for you?
Yeah, I think so. You know what would be more alarming, JD, is if nobody cared that they have now lost four in a row and they're getting touched up and they're getting the brakes beaten off of them. If I thought that if guys were hamming it up with big smiles, like, that would be a problem. I want to see some emotion right now. Hell yeah, it matters. I know that nobody's expecting the Golden State Warriors to win the finals this year, but they sure as hell need to be in the playoff conversation. So, yeah, you had the opportunity to be in a much better spot. You lost a bunch of close games. You certainly should have won a couple of them, or certainly could have. You didn't. So then you're coming to this brutal stretch of the season. You didn't get it done before the break. You lost three on the bounce. And, yeah, you just had a week off, and you come out against a focused Clippers team that had also lost three in a row. I mean, we knew coming in, JD, that this was going to be a very tall order for the Warriors. And I wasn't even looking for them necessarily to win this game, but I needed them to show up and play 48 minutes, and they didn't do it. So I would expect Steph to be pissed. Now, hopefully, when a guy like Steph, you know, when guys like that, JD, who tend not to be overly demonstrative, who tend to stay pretty well cool and in check, I hope that it's one of those things where when he does it, like, oh, man, okay, like, we pissed Steph off. Like, now something's really off here. We got to get this fixed. It's not like, oh, Draymond's pissed off. You know, that's kind of an eye roll. Like, if Steph's upset, I think, you know, the rest of the team better take notice. And look, he can't do it all, especially against teams like the Clippers, who are going to be so disciplined defensively. I mean, they're throwing two bodies at him all night. Steph had a tough night. I would expect them to be pissed. It's just, now what do you do with that? It's got to carry over into the Utah game on Sunday. And again, maybe it doesn't translate to a win, but they sure as hell better play better, man.
Let's get to Who's Hot and Who's Not, sponsored by Exergen, because accuracy matters. I'm reluctant to do this but I'm going to give it to James Wiseman as the who's hot player, both for really more for being angry and playing angry, Covey, in the fourth quarter, hot in that way as much as I – but they're just – nobody else really played well tonight. I mean, you can't give it to Wiggins. You can't – I mean, Jordan Poole, no, because he was awful in the second quarter. He played well. You know, he's another guy like Wiseman. You know, you get him out there in some no stakes or low stakes situations, and those guys feast. You know, I'm going to give it to Wiseman for going out there hot. As far as not, I mean, who stands out as far as not over everybody in this one tonight for you?
Yeah, there's quite a few to go around. I mean, you know, I didn't think Bazemore had a particularly good game. I thought Draymond was terrible tonight. I really did. Like, he looked lethargic. I mean, Draymond played 25 minutes tonight, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 turnovers, 3 fouls. He had more fouls and turnovers than he did rebounds and assists. Not going to cut it. And look, this was actually on a night where he hit a couple of threes in the first quarter. I'm like, oh, man, Draymond's dropping a couple off, helping the Warriors stay in it. Look at this. I mean, I was actually marveling after the first quarter, like, Steph Curry can't calibrate his shot and the Warriors are only down 2. All right. And then obviously we saw what happened after that. But no, I mean, Draymond tonight was completely lethargic for me.
Yeah, so Draymond will be our who's not. So who's hot? James Wiseman, who's not? Draymond Green for tonight. That's sponsored by Exergen, because accuracy matters. Let's sneak in a call here before we call it a night. Danny in Newark. Danny is up next here on Warriors Wrap Up. A lot of callers tonight. Danny, you're thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, you guys are terrific. I'm having a time of my life listening to you guys. It's like one of the
Well, we appreciate that.
Like deja vu all over it again. Does it remind you of anything this season? Does this season remind you of anything, guys? Both of you guys.
Not really. What does it remind you of, Danny?
Reminds me of the 1979 Warriors, way back when.
That was two.
Another one was 1994 when Weber, Chris
okay.
Weber, came in with a three well.
I remember that team. 79 is a little before my time, Danny, but I do remember the 94 team you're talking about.
A great season, but you know what happened? Same thing happened. Big guy got benched because of disciplinary. Chris Weber, and of course he came out to be a monster of a guy, you know. But hey, that's what happens when you got a good team going. You know, it's just starting to. If you look angry and you play angry, and you show it in the way of demeaning, especially have you ever seen a guy in the bench jump up and down for a 3-point play? I haven't seen anybody like that in the season. Have you? I haven't seen. I mean, the only game that matters when you guys get pumped up on the bench, you know.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it, man. Have a good night. Be safe out there, Danny. Danny in Newark checking in. Wow, we've had some callers tonight, my man.
Yes, we have.
We've had some callers tonight.
God bless him. He said he's having the time of his life, though. So that's, you know, that's good enough for me. And look, clearly he knew his Warriors history. He's dropping 79. Like, how old does he think we are? I remember 94. I was 2 in 1979.
And that Warriors team in 94, by the way, 50-32.
Yep.
50-32. So that team, I think, is going to wind up being a little better than this team was. But the bigger point, things did go awry. Not that season, but because of some of the events that season, moving into the next season, obviously between Don Nelson and Chris Weber, we know how that turned out. Neither one of them was around very much longer.
Yeah, and the Warriors didn't have a winning season again until 2006, 2007, as you well know.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it's headed down that direction as far as James Wiseman goes, but a rough one tonight for the Dubs. We're going to be talking about it tomorrow as well, all day long, I'm sure. And the one thing this team has provided all year long, and it's been tremendous, and some of it's the nature of a 500 team and this team down 19-19, the ups, the downs, the roller coaster. This team has been a content factory, and the Warriors fan base has just been incredibly passionate and engaged and just into it, which makes what we do a lot of fun on a night-in, night-out basis. So I know the conversations can get a little edgy or a little out there, but But my goodness, I mean, this is in a lot of ways what it's all about. And look, the Warriors are still, I think, big picture, in a pretty good spot.
If you wanted the regular season to matter, Dub Nation, well, it officially does again. No doubt about that. And the Warriors are at 500, JD, for the first time since Draymond Green took the dumbest, smartest shot in NBA history back on February 8th when they were 12-12. So they've come full circle again and back at 500. And the next two games are going to be tough, JD. So I'm sure, you know, we'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow. And actually, you know, when you were gone earlier in the week, I actually gave out my grades for the Warriors and the way that, you know, individual players and the way that the guys could have earned extra credit was how much content they provided. Let me just say, I handed out a lot of extra credit on my grades.
Nice. I love that. As somebody that did just enough to get to a point where the extra credit could get, like, I did just enough to where you were, like, at a C-, but if you did the extra credit, you could get up to a solid B. I respect that.
Of course. And what cool professor or teacher didn't give a little extra credit, baby? So if I'm going to be handing out grades, you know, I'm going to show some love on top of it, but you got to give me the content. So, and the good news is they did. And, yeah, man, we'll be delving into James Wiseman tomorrow, 6 o'clock, final word style. Plenty to get into. And then, just the Utah Jazz coming to town on Sunday. No big deal. Just the best team in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, Jazz and Lakers, man, the next two. So, not going to get any easier for the Warriors. And you know what? If they could somehow pull off a win in one of those two, we're going to be looking at this thing if they're 20-20, and it's going to be head right back in the other direction. Like, all right.
Season saved.
Schedule's getting easier. Making a run.
Yep.
It is interesting, and kind of the final thought, I was thinking about this during the game, and we can get into it tomorrow too, but just the fact that there was almost a realization for me in game tonight, you know, the Warriors really, like, probably can't get to 6, and they probably also can't get to 11 either. Like, they're almost, and injuries obviously can change it, but it kind of, I was thinking about it in the context of Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion and even playing Wiseman more if he struggles. Like, there is a window that the Warriors almost may just be resigned to where they could kind of do what they want a little bit and still, hey, they're going to be in that play-in tournament regardless.
Man, you're, JD, that's spot on. I think that's very astute analysis as always, partner. And you know who else I think is probably pretty aware of that at this point? Steve Kerr.
Yeah, and it's like almost as if, hey, maybe those three losses, the tough ones before the tough ones that led up to the last three before the break, it almost put them in that spot where it was like, all right, well, call off the dogs as far as the 4 seed or any of the 5 seed or 6 seed, any of that. Let's develop. Let's make sure we do enough to get into that play-in tournament and ramp it up from there. Partner, good stuff, man. Great to
no
be
doubt,
back
brother.
With you, and we'll talk again tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Sounds good, man. Good to have you back, baby.
All right, good stuff for Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to Bobby. Thanks to the help of one and all back in the studios here in San Francisco. We're back tomorrow with the final word, 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. And the next time we'll have Warriors Live for you will be 11:30. That's right, early one, 11:30 Sunday morning. Make sure you set that clock, by the way, forward. Don't let that hour sneak up on you if you're going to tune in on Sunday. That'll do it. Warriors get beat tonight by the Clippers. Clips win at 130-104. You heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.